We bring greetings again this morning in the very precious name of Jesus. A warm welcome to each one. It's good to see God's house so well filled. I saw our numbers were up and many of our youth are gone this morning, so it's good to have some visitors and the presence of each one in this time of worship this morning as we again praise God for his goodness to us and look into his word to be inspired. Chosen this morning to share a message that I preached a few weeks ago in another congregation on a Sunday evening. I was assigned this message, The Value of Church Membership. And I'll confess I struggled as I studied for this message on keeping the focus on the value of church membership without looking at the church. As I studied and I thought about the many things that we value in church membership, but then as I pondered, I thought of the many arguments that are out there that you can enjoy those same privileges, some of those same things, without being a church member, would be the argument of our society, and not our society, but many in the church today. And so this morning, I don't apologize for, first of all, before we really look at the value of church membership, just to define the church a little bit and help us to be inspired about the church itself and what the church really stands for. And it dawned upon me this morning as I was studying, going over my notes again, that I don't think it's been just real long ago that I preached a message on the church here. So bear with me this morning. We're not going to spend all of our time thinking about the church, but we'd like to think about a number of things, practical things of the value and the benefits that we have of being a part of the church. I believe this morning that, and I trust that you're enthused about being a part of the church. I trust this morning that you not only enjoy being a part of a church, but you realize the blessed privilege that it is to be a part of God's work, God's program. I believe this morning that unless we understand the church as God's work and as God's program, if we only focus this morning on the men that make up the church, or we only focus on the programs that we have as a church, and it's all a part of God's working, it's how God works, or we focus on just the intellect of individuals that make up the church this morning, we are going to miss the real blessing of what God wants us to have as we think of church life and church. I believe it's important this morning that we understand that the body of Christ is the church. And I'd like to just emphasize in the outstart of this message that I believe that the church as the body of Christ is an extension of Christ himself. It's an extension of the work that Jesus began. We're not going to turn there, but in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus referred to himself. He addressed Peter, and he asked Peter who he is, and Peter responded, and Jesus said that, "You're right. I'm that rock on which the church is built. Christ is the rock. He's the foundation. He's the cornerstone," the Bible says. This morning as we traveled to church here, we had a CD in, and I'm not sure if I can get all the words anymore, but the thought of the message in that song was that rock, that cornerstone is something that no one can take away from us. Mm-hmm. And that blessed me again as I thought about it in that way. This morning, each one of us has the opportunity to not only be a part of the church, but we can build on the rock, on the solid foundation that the church is built on. Of course, we, in order for us to do that, we need to have that same faith that Peter has. Not only did Jesus refer to himself as the rock on which the church was built, but Jesus turned back to Peter and he praised Peter for his confession of faith. And this morning, I'd like to say it's that same faith that Peter expressed that joins us to the body of Jesus Christ when we express that faith. And of course, we talked about surrender in the Sunday school lesson, and that means that each one of us lives that life of surrender as well. And so this morning, church begins with Christ. Church is built on Christ. Church is the body of Christ. We also believe that the church is the body of, as the body of Christ, is composed of people, those who through repentance towards God and, like I said, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ have been born again, and the Bible says have been baptized by one Spirit into one body. Just open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I'd like to just focus on a few verses in the introduction of the message. As we think about church life then on earth and in our congregations and as we relate to each other, Paul talked about this. He talks about the gifts that come together. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12, he says, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." And so we have the connection back to Christ. And remember, I said church life is an extension of Christ himself and what Christ has done and the example that Christ has given and the life that he gave to establish the church to make it possible for us to be born again and experience salvation. And verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto one Spirit." So we come together as born again believers this morning who have committed our lives to the Lord Jesus and are a part of his body. And every one of us has gifts in various ways that we contribute to the body. The church members have separated themselves. You and I have separated ourselves from the world. We stand out away from the world as the body of Christ and as Christians this morning. We are to produce the fruits that God is looking for, the fruits of righteousness. And we live, our goal is, as a united body, to live to glorify God, is what it is. You see, that's what Jesus done when he came to earth. He was here to do the will of the Father and to glorify the Father. And that is what he's expecting of us. We as a church, as a body, are made up of many members, and yet, in a nutshell, I guess I'd say it like this: we're united by one common desire. We come together, and that is to be obedient to our heavenly calling. And there's only one way that we can do that. As we come together as a body and are a church, a group of various individuals who are made up of individuals, individuals make up the body. But we must lose our identity in the body. We cannot stand out as each one of us as an individual. We're to humble ourselves. We're to surrender ourselves. We're to give up our own agendas and ideas and blend into the body. And as we do that, we become the church of Jesus, and each one of us just fits right into it. Just another thought in introducing this subject this morning yet is the thought that God cherishes and jealously guards his church. His heart is set on it. I like the verse in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 9 and 10, part of verse 10 at least it is. It says, "For the Lord's portion is his people. He found him in a desert land and in a waste, howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, and he kept him as the apple of his eye. And I just love that illustration of the church and how Jesus, how God looks at the church. And he uses this illustration of the apple of the eye. We know how tender, how much we protect our eye and how quickly we respond to the needs of the eye. And Jesus says that's how he looks at the church and how he protects and how he responds to the church this morning. Well, those are just a few thoughts in the introduction I'd like to this morning look at about six reasons why I believe we should value church membership. The first practical point I'd like to make this morning is that I believe that the home and the church are both, I'm going to call them social units designed by God for His glory and for our well-being. We like home life. We put a lot of emphasis, a lot of importance on home life, and I'm not here to minimize home life this morning. That's not my point. My point is I'd like to show us that home life and church life have a lot of similarities, and that we benefit from church life. And as we think of the value of church membership, as we realize that church is God's social unit for his people, his special people, the people that God has called to be his bride, his special people, his special family, we might say, in the midst of society today. So I think about that, and I think about the privilege that we have to live in the freedoms that we do, in a country with the freedoms that we have, in a time, in an era time when we can be a part of a visible body, the Church of Jesus Christ. Not everyone has always had this privilege. Not everyone has this privilege today. And it's a privilege that we have in our land that we probably take for granted way too much. In fact, as we travel across the countryside to come to the congregation that we came to this morning, probably, I didn't count how many churches I passed this morning, but the choice of churches is just all around us. There's so many. You could have went here, you could have went there, you could have joined up with this denomination or that denomination. You see, we live in a land where we're very much privileged to have the benefits of church. But the thing I'd like to say about that this morning is not to focus so much on that privilege. It's also an unfortunate reality this morning that many churches, quote, today know little about the true church. They know a little about proper membership and real brotherhood. And I'd like for us to think about that this morning as I say that the home and the church are both social units designed by God to bring glory to Him and for our benefit. I'd like for you to just pause this morning a little bit and think about, I believe this morning that church is an integral part of every believer's life, every true child of God. Just think about our existence, our experience, conduct, theology, our eternal home. Those things are all realized in the church, in the true church. Think about our existence. We're here today largely because, yes, we've had godly parents for the most part of us. We've been brought up, we've been taught in godly homes. But how much of your existence this morning has been influenced by church, by what took place within these walls in your life? So much of it has. It has been a blessing to have what our parents have taught us, backed up by other parents, by other people, by other preachers, by other sources of influence, whatever that was in your life. Bible school, Sunday school, and just on and on, the things that we experience within the walls of the church and the contribution that they have made and are so much a part of where you and I exist today. You see, had we been outside of that influence and outside of that teaching, we probably wouldn't be any different than what many in our society are today. And so a part of the value of church membership is that we have the influence, experience. Think about our theology, what we believe. My convictions, my thoughts, my teaching, what I believe today has been influenced largely within the church. Mm-hmm. What I've heard, and yes, I believe some of that has changed over the years at times, not because the Bible changed, but possibly because I've learned things through the church, through the teaching, through preaching, through other individuals. I have learned things that I wasn't aware of at one point, didn't realize, didn't fully understand. And as I sat and I listened, and you can all relate to that, we have picked up on things that have influenced our thinking and our belief patterns and our thoughts. And so we learned, we would say, things. And because of that, we also realize the things that are prophesied for the future and where our eternal hope is in the future. This morning, as I think about all that, I think about how much influence the church has been in my life. That thought in itself puts a lot of value on me wanting to be a part of the church, being a member in the church this morning. And I believe God intended it in that way. So I thought about that. My mind went back in history a little bit. And I thought about how church membership was a vital part, a vital issue, we might say, to our Anabaptist forefathers. Their belief and practice of voluntary church membership and believers' baptism brought them into costly conflict between the church and the state and the church. They stood for what they believed through that. We haven't experienced that. We didn't have to, like I said, we practice freedoms today that they didn't practice in their day. They had to stand up for what they believed was right in almost a different way than what we do today. But they voluntarily did that because there was a cost. That there was something at stake. They were willing to pay the price. So I pondered that and I thought about the time that we live in today. The pressures of modern living, I believe, have undermined the thinking of many regarding church membership. I really believe they have. Modern methods of communication and travel have made it easy for people today to have enough of religious exposure that many consider themselves Christians. And yet, they aren't tied into church membership. They aren't tied into the body because that interferes with my lifestyle and the way I want to live with their, we might say, their social pursuits, material pursuits. You see, we live in a different time, a different era, different culture. The pressures are different. And because of that, I believe this morning that maybe we lose sight of the value of church membership sometimes because we are. I'm not saying we're there. But it does have its influence in our lives as well. And we tend maybe not to take membership as serious and as much of a blessing as what we should. I believe this morning my point is simply this. The blessing comes when we view church membership as not only a privilege, but a privilege that is well worth the necessary sacrifice, is the point that I'd like to make. Are we willing to sacrifice to be there and enjoy church life together? I think we should. I think our lives ought to be a sacrifice for that. You see, God made the social unit for His glory and for our benefit. Secondly, this morning, God never intended for us to live the Christian life on our own. I don't believe God did that. I don't think he ever had the intention that he made us social beings. He made us individuals who likes to relate, who likes to have other people influence our life. You see, God said from the beginning that it is not good that man should live alone. And I don't believe this morning that God just meant in the marriage relationship when he said that. I believe it's a fundamental truth this morning that's connected to human life, that it's not good for men and for women to be alone. It's not good for us to be alone. God intends us to have the blessing of being able to influence each other. In fact, the provisions of our spiritual success are found with the fellowship of the saints, I believe. And we have, go with me to 1 John, the Epistle of John, 1 John chapter 1. I'd just like to show you from God's word this morning what I base this on. The fact that God has put provisions for our spiritual success, and it's handed to us from the beginning, as it were. Remember, I said the church is an extension of God himself. In 1 John 1, verse 1, it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." John is simply saying that we're handing to you, we're preaching the things. We have the same gospel that has been handed to us. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is on the foundation. It's only what has been given to us by God through Jesus and has been handed down through the prophets and through the time by faithful men. And today it's ours because of that. The sobering reality is it's ours to give on to the next generation. It's our responsibility. If this chain is not to be broken that we talked about today, brethren and sisters, we have a responsibility today. Mm-hmm. Not only a responsibility, a privilege today. It's a wonderful privilege. Now, having said that, think of all the spiritual nourishment that we have received through the teaching and preaching in the ministry of the church. Do we not treasure the spiritual refreshment we experience with the fellowship of the people of God? I do. I enjoy coming to church and being encouraged and just being challenged again, and yes, sometimes being convicted. We don't like that feeling, but it's good for us. We need that. We're human enough to be empty enough at times that we need to be rebuked and encouraged again. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 24 and 25, I wrote in my notes, and I'm drawing a blank right now, just exactly what these, okay. "Let us consider one another and provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching." Paul is telling us that we need to do this. We need to come together, and we need to have this spiritual encouragement, this spiritual refreshment. You see, we need the support and the encouragement of the brotherhood in facing life, the challenges of life, the turmoil of life, the experiences of life. I think there's some blessings that it does, that we experience from that. Relating to, I'll say, a tangible body of believers helps us to, I believe, crystallize, may I say, our loyalties, our our thoughts, our convictions. You know, sometimes we study into things, we wonder about things, we have questions about life, about the Bible, about God's Word. There's many of those things, and we try to study, and we start building a foundation of a belief system in our minds on things. But you know, as we relate to a brotherhood, and as we hear those same subjects talked about, and we hear the ideas of other men and women at times in church life, as we talk together, we crystallize those ideas. And we build convictions, and we connect with the Word of God because of that. You see, that's the kind of encouragement that Paul's talking about here. Let's consider each other and build each other up. Yes, in the things of God, unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. Brethren and sisters, may I challenge us with that this morning? I'm a little concerned at some of the likeness I see in church services sometimes. We do pretty well Sunday mornings, but I've noticed Sunday evenings, Wednesday nights, we are getting pretty slim sometimes. I believe we're living in the days that Paul's talking about here. We're living in those end times. Paul said that that's the way it's going to be in the end time. The love of many is going to wax cold. There's going to be a falling away. Oh, you say, brother, we're not falling away. No, but brethren, the way we fall away is we don't start falling. We don't start where we end up at. Let me say it like that. I just challenge us. Paul writes in the Bible that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There's a reason why he wrote that. You see, I need this support. I need this encouragement. And it's a blessing. It's a part. It's a privilege of being a part of the church. Another reason why I need this support is we need the stability that we get from the group voice. As we think about applying scriptures to our lives and making application to them, it's here that we learn those and build our conviction. We need that stability, the stability to apply scriptures consistently and to avoid individualistic expressions. You see, when we don't blend into the body and when we stand out as an individual in the body, then we become that individual who stands out, and we express that even unbeknownst to us. We express that in many, many ways. Secondly, right with that, I believe that each one of us needs a personal discipline, the accountability that comes from submitting to a church. And it's another burden that is growing on my mind. In fact, earlier this week I thought about trying to put a message together just on submission and the thought of submitting. One of the things that I believe I am seeing happening in church life is, and it's not just in our church, it's not just in the Pilgrim Conference, I'm talking about the church at large. But I believe there's a reason why we see so many new groups forming, so many new groups starting. There's this attitude that is among us that if I don't agree with you and I don't like what you're promoting and I don't like what you're saying, I'll just go do my own thing. I'll start my own church. That's among church leaders of today. I'm not talking about laity. It's within church leaders today. It's this idea of not submitting to the body. And individualistic expressions. If it doesn't go my way and it's not what I believe, then I'll just go do my own thing and I'll have a following. And I believe it's why we see so much happening in our world today and so many new groups. And that, I'll be honest, that bothers me. I don't think it's God's way. I don't think it's the Bible way. I don't think it's what God intended. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And this fellowship is all the more precious when our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus. That's the rest of those verses there. He says that that fellowship is to be with the one who founded the church, the one who started the church. And so we come back to this idea of one body. God's church is a body, one body. And I understand there's room for different denominations and so on, but we need to be careful with that, I believe. The point that I'm trying to make is that we need the church. In fact, do you realize that each one of us needs the church more than the church needs us? Mm-hmm. Think about it in that way. I need the church more than you all need me. Thirdly, this morning, another value, church membership, is that a biblical church is a shelter for the people of God. There's numerous things we could look at in God's Word this morning that back this point up, but I thought about Jesus himself. Jesus referred to himself as the Good Shepherd. He also referred to himself as the door to the sheepfold. And he warns against what's on the outside. He calls them thieves and robbers and wolves, the wolves of the world, we could say this morning, that are liable to break in at any time and carry away or destroy the flock, is what Jesus was referring to. This morning, Peter also talks about under-shepherds, those that God has called to carry forth the work of the church today, and the responsibility that God gives to them is that those shepherds are commanded to feed the flock, to watch out for the flock, to take the oversight thereof. All I want to say about that this morning is, what a flock, what a blessing to have that kind of shelter around us, the faithful care of a shepherd that this faithful church has. The Church of Jesus Christ today has that protection that, well, Job referred to it as a hedge that is round about him, or Satan, I believe it was from Satan. The accusation came from Satan as he was in dialogue with God over Job, and he said, well, you have a hedge around him. You're protecting him. That's right. That's what we have within the walls of the church. Mm-hmm. Among God's people, there's protection. There's a blessing to be there. The value of church membership is to cast our lot with that group of people and to be there and have that hedge of protection around us. God, again, going back to the thought that God protects that as the apple of his eye. God looks down, and I believe today that the church in the society of wolves and robbers that is all around us today is experiencing a lot of protection that we take for granted many times. God is looking down with that heart of desire to protect them, and Jesus looks upon the church, a church that he gave his blood for, and he cries out to the Father. He's interceding for us, and this is on an everyday basis as you go about your duties in life, and Jesus is observing and he's watching and he's seeing there's someone who needs help, and he cries out and he intercedes. There's protection. You see, when you throw away the value of church membership and the value not being a part of that, you're throwing away a part of that protection, that hedge that God puts around. Fourthly, I believe this morning, it helps us to maintain an attitude of loyalty to God and the church. And I probably already somewhat, this point overlaps maybe somewhat a little bit with one of the first points. But I like to say this: since the church has been called into existence and is ordained of God, it is both a privilege and I'd like to say a duty to show faithful, loyal, Spirit-filled obedience to the Church of Christ. It's the little that we can do. It's in appreciation to what God has done for us. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye what? Present your bodies. A living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice. While you're living, be alive. Be those lively stones that Peter talks about within the body, within the church, that gets involved, that takes the gifts that God has given you. We're all part of that body that has many members. And we could have read on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 there, where he talks about all the different various parts of the body, relates it to the gifts that we have, and they're all necessary within the church. Brother, sister, this morning, every one of you has a part that the church needs. And I'd like to say this morning that it's not only a privilege, but it's our responsibility to fill that part. To do it in a faithful, loyal way. Be there and give it. Don't do it begrudgingly. Don't make others make a whole bunch of phone calls to get you involved. When the phone rings and you're asked, be a yes person and do it. It's a part of your privilege, your responsibility. If you value your church membership this morning, it's going to help you maintain your attitude about the privilege, and your attitude, your loyalty to church and to God and His church. Paul says it's really only our reasonable service to do that. You see, church membership does something else for us. It's all under this point, but church membership makes us, I'm going to say, eligible. It simply gives us the privilege to humbly exercise the gifts that God has given us to edify His church, to edify the body, to help the rest of the body. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Think about that. As you exercise, as that phone call comes and says, brother, would you teach? Will you have devotions? Whatever. Fill in the blanks. And when you say yes, you are responding to the grace of God that has been given to you. You're being a good steward of it. And when you say no, you're doing what? Something else. Think about it. As everyone hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I ran across this quote and I like it. It says, it's referring to the church as a ship that's sailing the ocean. It says, on the ship of the church, there are no passengers. All are members of the crew. God has not planned that some should just go along for the ride. Brother and sister, you're not in church life just to go along for a ride. If you're here this morning and you think church life is just a ride, wake up. You're going to miss it somewhere. On the ship of the church, there are no passengers. All are members of the crew. Either you're a member of the crew this morning or you're going to miss it. That's the long and the short of it. So that's a serious note. God has not planned that some just go along for the ride. Number 5, another value of church membership. Being a part of a biblical church helps us to obey the Bible. And we talked about this somewhat already. But there are many scriptures I'd like to say this morning that cannot be obeyed outside of the context of a brotherhood. Just think about all the ordinances, for instance, communion and feet washing and the Christian salutation, and the list just goes on. There's so many things that God says, if you're a part of the body, this do. Fulfill my joy by doing it. Be happy in your own experience. Last weekend we had communion and we read those scriptures about feet washing and the fact that it brings joy to be a part. That's a privilege of being a part of the body. I believe this morning among the most meaningful privileges is the observance of the Christian ordinances, participating in those. And they are only available to those who are a part of the body. sickly this morning. Another value of church membership is that we believe this morning that the church has the authority to make practical applications. The church makes practical applications to the principle of God's word. And I would like to say this morning that we need to do so if we're going to maintain those principles and keep them alive in our member and among us. And we could go to many Bible verses. If you're taking notes, just write down Matthew 16:19, Matthew 18:17, Hebrews 13:17. Look those scriptures up and ponder them and think about them. I'm not going to take the time to go to them this morning. But I'd like to say again this morning that it's a real value to us. I appreciate being a part of the church, a church who helps me decide what the practical application of the principles of God's word. If I would have to do that on my own, think about that for a moment. I don't know what I'd do. I don't know where I'd be. Probably none of us can answer that. You see, by ourselves, we are a real target for the devil, number one. There's so much value being a part of the group, a body of believers who says what we believe, this is how it should be. There is safety, the Bible tells us, in a multitude of counselors. Sometimes I hear comments about ministers who go to ministers' meeting and they sit around and they waste hours and hours and hours of manpower discussing what? The outcome is what? And I know we need to be careful with that. But you know what? Those are some valuable moments. Those are some valuable times. We sit and we discuss scripture and we hear this side and that side, and sometimes maybe it seems last Sunday Brother Luke got up and said that we spent how many moments together discussing things and nothing really changed and there's nothing. That's true. Was it a waste of time? No, it wasn't a waste of time. We value the input of each other. In conclusion this morning, the value of church membership. God extends the gracious invitation, the same gracious invitation to us that he extended to Noah and his family. There was a time in the midst of much sin that God said, I'm going to destroy mankind. But there was this man with a faithful family who listened on God, who done what God told him to do, who applied the principles, who was within the shelter of, he had the hedge of God around him because he lived for God. And I'd like to say this morning that when the windows of heaven broke forth and the rains descended, the waters came, the floods were poured out on the earth, this man was safe. Why? Because he lived his life for God, done what God wanted him to do. That's exactly what I like to relate the church to this morning. That ark that was there with that family in was the ark of safety to them. They could float in the waters. They were safe. They didn't have to experience what those outside did. God says this morning within the church, come, you can find safety. You see, it's an extension of our Christian homes. It's an extension of what God wants us to have in our homes. But it's an extension that helps us to have the proper things in our homes. When our homes respond to the invitation to enter into and find protection within the church, they will be strengthened to fight and maintain truth, I believe, this morning. May God help us to do that. May God help us to be faithful. May God help us to appreciate our church membership. Let's kneel.